day that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Thanks, Fred.
If you were here last week, you will remember that I preached from the previous passage under the theme, The Truth Will Set You Free. Now, in the text for today, Jesus is still on the same topic. How the truth will set you free. But this time he digs even deeper with regards to the question, what we have to be set free from. Last week we saw how we will be set free from all kind of fears. For instance, from the fear for what people or our friends think of us. That's an enormous burden to carry. For then you are forever in the business of pleasing people. What we have to learn is to please the Lord. And that is a liberating life change. When we receive the gospel, we are also set free, says the Bible, from the fear of death. And it's true. And it gives a totally different outlook on our life today. We don't have to be merry all day because tomorrow we'll die. No, we are rather content today because we know we have an eternal future ahead of us. Well, I said further last week still that we have to be set free from ourselves and from our own ambition. And that is quite a liberation too. But friends, the freedoms I mentioned so far are mainly on what we could call a psychological level. In our passage, Jesus makes us aware that there is a bondage on a much deeper level. An even more dangerous bondage. Being enslaved of something of which we are totally unaware. Until the Lord reveals it to us. It is the spiritual bondage we are all born with. And unless and until we be set free from that bondage, life is not ours. Then we remain dead people on our way to eternal destruction. Now, I'm talking now about the common human slavery to the power of God's opponent, the devil. The Bible gives us everywhere glimpses of this dark spiritual power. This power behind the scenes, who controls so much of the existing world. The devil is extremely successful in hiding himself. And he does that so cleverly that many people are absolutely convinced that he is not even there, that he doesn't exist. That all there is to this world is only what we can see and feel with our five senses. And that, friends, is a dangerous mistake. And therefore, we need to listen, because otherwise we would never know, but we need to listen to what Jesus and the Bible reveal about the devil. In our text, Jesus calls him the murderer from the beginning. And that means as a murderer, he has only one aim. He wants to see people dead. And he does so by deception. And therefore Jesus calls him the father of lies. Now somewhere else he calls him the prince of this world and the prince of darkness. The apostle Paul refers to the devil as the god of this age who has blinded the eyes of unbelievers. And the author of the letter to the Hebrews points to the devil as him who holds the power of death. Now, do you get a picture? It's a very consistent picture all through the Bible. God's opponent, Satan, or the devil, is permanently active to destroy God's work in the world. And that is the background of Jesus' talk with the Jews. And Jesus is fully aware of that, but his Jews are not. Now, the overall picture is this. Since the beginning of the world, mankind has been caught by the devil. Adam and Eve had a choice. Either to submit to God or to believe the devil. And unfortunately, they chose the latter. And since then, mankind is bound to sin and subject to death. All people live under the dominion of the devil until God in his grace does something. And he has done. He sends Jesus to buy people free from the dominion of darkness and brings them in the light of life. Now our text for today is a continuation of the talk Jesus has with some Jews who initially put their faith in him. But as the talk continues, we come to realize that faith is only a beginning of faith and it's wavering and actually it turns already against Jesus. Because these people are offended by Jesus' insistence that they have to be set free by the truth. And then they respond, how can you tell us that we have to become free? We are free children of Abraham. No, you're not, responds Jesus. You have another father. And that father suggests to you that you should kill me. It's the murderer of the beginning. And to which they retort, the only father we have is God himself. Now if you think through what I'm saying, then you can see that they actually refute Jesus' claim that he is the Son of God. See, Jesus had been saying that all along. I'm not here of my own accord, but I'm sent to you by my Father in heaven. And then the Jews said, so you saying God is your Father? Well, then we're in the same position, because we too have a Father in heaven, because we are Jews, and we are legitimate descendants of Abraham. Now, at that point in the discussion, our text, verse 42, starts. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I come from God and am now here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. And Jesus is saying, friends, you do not speak the truth. You may think you do, but you are caught already by the lie and you don't even realize it yourselves. For if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from him. So Jesus is saying, if your heart had been with the Lord as your father, your heart would have responded to him who comes from the Father. If God were your Father, you would have recognized the Son as your brother. And even if you wouldn't have understood everything I'm saying, you would have heard the ring of truth in my words. And you would have felt attracted to that. And you would continue to listen and wanting to know more. Now the first time that I heard that expression about the ring of truth is quite a while ago. I had been preaching and someone came up to me and said, "Fred, I'm not quite sure what you are getting at, but it certainly has the ring of truth about it." Now he made my day, you know, because then I knew that God would continue to work the truth in him. And God did. Praise him. So it is a good question to ask ourselves. Is God my Father? And that is a much bigger question than just, do I believe in God? I mean, these Jews undoubtedly did believe in God. They were full of zeal for God's commands. They were like the Apostle Paul once was with regards to legalistic righteousness, faultless. And yet, God was not their Father. Listen to Jesus. "If God were your Father, you would love me." And friends, that is the question, what it is all about. Do you love Jesus? Do his words and his deeds create this response in your heart? "Lord Jesus, I love you. You always be mine." See, knowing about Jesus, believing what he did, is just not enough. The decisive question is, do you love him? Are you looking forward to meet him? Is your heart responding to his words? Just think about it for yourself. Back to our text. Jesus says, "Why is my language not clear to you? Why don't you understand what I say?" It is because you are unable to hear what I say. You hear the words, but you're not able to make sense of it. It's like a foreign language to you. Friends, you know what? It is no different today. If you have not been born again, like Jesus told Nicodemus, if you've not been born again, you will not be able to make sense of the Bible, no matter how hard you try. No matter how much study you do. Unless God himself enables you to hear, you'll be deaf and blind for the truth. And there's no way that you can enter into the kingdom of heaven on your own steam, by your own efforts. It's only the Holy Spirit who can give you a revelation of the truth. He, the Holy Spirit, gives life to the Word of God. And when he does, the moment he does, all these bits and pieces that you wondered about fall into one picture, like a jigsaw puzzle being completed. Then suddenly, all makes sense. Well, that's the mystery of your regeneration by the Spirit. Regeneration opens your ears that you can hear. It opens your eyes that you can see. It opens your mind that you can understand. It opens your heart that you can respond. It opens your mouth so that you can bring praise to God. Unless and until that happens, you cannot claim to be a true child of God. And there's still a way to go. Pray about it. Think about it. You're still under the dominion of the devil, bound to what he suggests you to do. That's what Jesus tells the Jews. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. And don't forget, at this stage, they are still determined to kill Jesus. For what he's saying about the truth will set you free. See, with all their religious zeal, they had no clue about love. They only knew how to hate. And that means they did not know God, who is love. See, that's what religion does to you. Satan knows how to use people's religious convictions. And it has led to bloodbaths all over history. Whether under the name of Islam, or under the name of Christianity, or under the name of purity of religion, or whatever. It has led to bloodbaths. But Jesus reveals here who the devil really is. He was a murderer from the beginning. See, in his hatred against God, who had denied him eternal life, the devil had only one aim in mind: the death of man who was promised eternal life. The death of that special creature that God had made to rule the world on his behalf. Man. God had made man in his own image to enable him to achieve that. Because of that, he would have eternal life. But Satan, in his envy, wanted man dead. To begin with, Adam and Eve. And since their first sin, death, has reigned. And how successful the devil has been in achieving his aim. For we all still have to die one day. Our last enemy, death, has not been made undone yet. Satan achieved his murderous intentions by lying. He is a full-time liar. And how can you know that the devil lies? You know it when his lips move. He cannot do anything else than lying and twisting the truth. For, as Jesus says, there is no truth in him. There is no truth in him. It's even more than being a regular liar whom you can't trust. Whatever the devil does, he always creates an illusion, a fake world, which looks so real, and the millions fall for it. People rather believe the lie than the truth. This week I heard a journalist who interviewed someone who had achieved a lot of good for a very poor society in South America. Even became a politician to promote the interest of the poor. So he was an interesting guy to make a TV documentary about what this man had achieved there. But as the talk was going, this man said, "Well, I'm a Bible-believing Christian, so the Bible has authority for my life." And the journalist was shocked to hear that. He simply could not imagine that in the 21st century, there were still people who believed in the Bible as the Word of God. Well, he didn't dare to say it in this Christian's face. But in the reflection after the documentary, he said, "I have only one word for this Bible stuff. To me, it's organized stupidity." Fancy that, he said. That in the 21st century, some people still believing in creation over against evolution. Or that based on the Bible, people would have problems with a homosexual marriage. Organized stupidity. And I have no doubt that if this journalist would walk into our congregation, his judgment about us would be exactly the same. Organized stupidity. So you can do with that. But the point I want to make is this. People rather believe the lies of the devil than Jesus, the truth. And they are absolutely convinced that they have it right. And they are genuine in that. But that is objectively spoken. They promote the lie. But subjectively, they are actually quite honest in what they promote. They mean what they say. They believe themselves what they are saying. And because of that, they can be very convincing. It's always the case with false prophecy. A false prophet is not someone who knows that he lies and still tries to convince other people to believe his lies. No, he is absolutely convinced for himself that he speaks the truth and that he shares what he believes with others. And that makes false teaching or false prophecy so dangerous. Be aware of it. Back to Jesus, verse 45. Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe in me. Now that sounds somewhat mysterious. It's a kind of contradiction. See, we could understand that he would say, though I speak the truth to you, you still do not believe me. In spite of me speaking the truth, you refuse to believe me. But he doesn't say that. He says, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Apparently, the very fact that he speaks the truth is for them reason not to believe him. And that means that the truth, Jesus' message, is uncomfortable or offensive to them. And I can understand that. In their religion, they knew about people who spoke on behalf of God. You know, prophets, they were called, and they were familiar with that. A prophet had a vision or a dream in which God spoke to him, and then he was called to pass that on. So a human prophet was something that they could handle. But Jesus clearly claims that he himself came from heaven, that he always had been with his Father God, and now that he was sent to this world and was standing here before them, well, that was too big a concept for them to handle. This can't be right. He cannot speak the truth, for this is absolutely unthinkable. Someone coming down from heaven, a human being of flesh and blood, can't be. But Jesus maintains his claim. And you have to decide on that, what you do with that claim. And then he asks, can any one of you prove me guilty of sin? Have I ever cheated on you? Have I ever treated any one of you without respect? Have I ever stolen something from you? Have you ever caught me out on a lie? Jesus knows the answer, no. He has never lied to anyone. So, if I am telling you the truth, why don't you believe in me? Do you hear him plead with the people? See, he would love to convince them of the truth. And it hurts him that they don't. He would love them to see that they would place their trust in him so that the truth will set them free from the lies of the devil. But there's a bottom line here. And it's the last verse of our text. And in a sense, it's quite a frightening truth. But it supports all the Bible has to say about salvation of people. And it's this. Salvation is from the Lord. Salvation begins in God. Salvation is by grace alone. Salvation is an action by God himself. See, it is the Lord who knows who are his. And he has hidden the secret of the kingdom from wise and learned people. But he has revealed it to little children. So this is the bottom line. He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear, says Jesus, is that you do not belong to God. Now tell that to Jewish people who were absolutely convinced that they belong to God. and that they were the only ones in the world who could say that. Friends, have you ever thought that Jesus was a softy trying to please everybody around him? You are set straight here. Here is someone who stands up for the truth, even if the truth is hard. And he does so fearlessly, for he knows he tells the truth. I don't know, you can ask lots of questions here, like what can people do about it, that they belong to God or not? Or, and if people do not belong, they cannot hear the word of God, apparently. So what's the point in telling them? And all those questions. I don't have all the answers to those questions. There is something mysterious about this that I cannot solve, but I know. Scripture is very clear on this point, that salvation is not just for grabs for all who may be interested, so that it all depends on your own choice. Sure, we all have to make the choice to commit our life to Jesus, our Lord and Savior. But before we can make that choice, another choice has gone before that. It is the choice of God. He knows his own. There are people who belong to him and people who don't. And by his Spirit, he will open the ears of all who belong to him so that they hear the voice of God. And his voice is saying, come. Come all to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And all who come to me, I will never drive away. That's the invitation. And you're all called to respond to it and to come to him. And I pray that all of you will do. But every time someone makes that step and receives this saving faith, we will only praise God for every time. It is a genuine miracle. God himself breaks the bonds of the lies of the devil, and he reveals the truth. Praise him. He who belongs to God hears what God says. It's the last word of our text. He who belongs to God hears what God says. It is the same as what Jesus will say in chapter 10, when he speaks about the good shepherd who will lay down his life for his sheep. And then he says, the sheep recognize the shepherd's voice. They will never follow a stranger. Let me finish off with a quote from the same John who wrote this gospel. And it summarizes most of what I've tried to tell you today. And you find it in one of his letters to the churches. We have the Gospel of John, but we also have in the back of the Bible, we have the letters to the churches. In 1 John 3, verse 8 to 10, John says this, dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. And therefore, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God. Nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Congregation, this is the word of God. And let's pray that we all may understand. For it is the truth that sets you free. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the revelation of the Holy Spirit, who leads us in the truth, who opens our ears and minds and hearts to understand what you have to say. And Lord, we pray that we all may come to that understanding, that you will open the heart of each of us. And Lord, give them that we may rejoice in you and do what is right, live a life that is pleasing to you. And if we are not that far yet to see that and to experience that, we pray, Lord, that we would continue to search, that we would continue to listen, that we would continue to pray, Lord Jesus, open your word to me. Grant me your spirit so that I may understand and live. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand up now and sing.